And of course, you know, one of the things, as you mentioned, of these neoadjuvant studies is to be able to look inside the tumor. And actually, the pathologist from the NSABP, Soon Paik, who did a lot of the work, the majority of the work with the Oncotype from the NSABP, and I'm really curious to see what he's going to be looking at inside these tumors getting chemo plus bevacizumab. What are some of the things that people have talked about looking at to try to predict, you know, who's going to benefit?
Well, I think that we're understanding that the growth pathways and the vascular pathways are interrelated. So we see, for example, MAP kinase may be important in activating that, may then activate VEGF. And so there may be something of an autocrine type of feedback loop here where we're seeing that tumors that are stimulated to grow intrinsically through other pathways, perhaps HER2 as well, are then generating more VEGF and then have more growth of the vasculature to the tumor. So I think we'll be looking at a variety of downstream events beyond HER2 signals and other signals. P53 mutation may be important here as well. And then what happens to VEGF expression and a variety of VEGF and PDGF expression may also be important.
I want to ask you about the issue of looking at bevacizumab in the earlier stage disease. We just talked about neoadjuvant setting, but also now there are going to be adjuvant trials looking at bevacizumab. How do you think that this agent is going to play out in the adjuvant or neoadjuvant setting from the point of view of safety and toxicity?
I think that's a real good question, particularly in the adjuvant setting, because unless we can find a marker for those patients that are at highest benefit from bevacizumab, if we're going to go back to the all-comers approach, then clearly we're going to be treating a lot of people with this agent who won't need it because they will have been cured by either their surgery or their surgery and standard chemotherapy alone. Therefore, in the adjuvant setting, the safety becomes a really much bigger critical question. And we don't have long-term toxicity data on bevacizumab, and we don't have long-term toxicity data, particularly when combined with drugs that might affect the heart or vasculature like adriamycin. So I think we have to be very, very careful in those settings. And I'm hoping we don't come up with something of a mixed signal there, which is to say that there might be some benefit from bevacizumab as well as some potential toxicity, and then it becomes very difficult to try to determine who is the best candidate for that drug in the adjuvant setting. So I'm hoping that in those trials, there will be corollary studies done that hopefully will give us some clue as to who will benefit, assuming there is benefit from bevacizumab in the adjuvant setting, knowing who will benefit, which will probably be a relatively small proportion since we're already doing relatively well with the majority of patients. If we can figure that out, I think it'll be much better. Otherwise, we may be in a situation where there are issues not only with safety, but also with expense in that setting, which could be very difficult.